Jesus will walk with me down through the valley. Jesus will walk with me over the plain. When in the shadow or when in the sunshine, if he goes with me, I shall not complain. Jesus will walk with me when I am tempted, giving me strength as my need may demand. When in affliction his presence is near me, I am upheld by his almighty hand. Jesus will walk with me, he will talk with me, he will walk with me. In joy or in sorrow, today and tomorrow, I know he will walk with me. Con mi guía, mi Señor, por el valle. Con mi guía, por los montes y el mar. Cuando en tristeza o en gozo me hallé, si él va conmigo, no me he de quejar. Cristo conmigo irá, me consolará, me defenderá. En gozo, tristeza, en paz o pobreza, yo sé que conmigo irá. Jesus will walk with me in fair morning, and when the shadows of evening must come, living or dying, he will not forsake me. Jesus will walk with me all the way home. Jesus will walk with me, he will talk with me, he will walk with me. In joy or in sorrow, today and tomorrow, I know he will walk with me. In joy or in sorrow, today and tomorrow, I All right. If you open your Bibles anywhere, everything's good. Amen? All right. I'm so nervous tonight. I don't know what to do, but we're going to do something. Amen? Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want us to look at something tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Lord's Supper passage. So I was meditating on this week, what to preach and what to say and what to do tonight. I was led of the Spirit to just remember these two verses and remember the Lord and learn some lessons from some of these verses that we're going to look at tonight. If you look at verse 24 and 25, let's all stand and read the scripture tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be with y'all. It's a blessing to be able to speak tonight. I pray that God will make me a blessing and we can be a blessing to each other. Amen. As we preach and as you listen, I hope that we can learn some things that will benefit us during this week. If you listen there with me in verse 24, I'll read verse 24 and 25. And the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for who? For you, for us. Amen. This do in remembrance of who? Me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. And I want to speak to you tonight on just a few minutes on the lessons we can learn as we remember him. As we remember him. The Lord's Supper is about him, folks. Amen. And we've got to remember him. He is the important one in our lives, and we need to remember him. I want you to look at a passage with me over there in the book of Ruth, where the Lazarus taking the person for barbecue after church, if you find it first. Book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. All of us know the story of Elimelech and Naomi when they decided to go and visit Moab in the time of famine. And they left Bethlehem and went to Moab, and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, amen. In English, what are they? Mahlon? I don't know what they're in English. All right. Okay. Mahlon and Chilion. Is that right? I hope I got it right. Okay. And all of us know how Mahlon and Chilion, you know, were born over there. And we know that Elimelech died. And then both boys got married. And they also died. One of them married Orpha. Yes. And the other one, Ruth. Amen. I'm having to translate up here, folks. Be patient with me, okay? So, we know that Naomi was telling the ladies, Orpha and Ruth, to go back to their mothers. And you know, she was old. She couldn't have any more children. And Ruth says, you know, I'm going to go with you. Your God's going to be my God. And we're going to stay together. And I'm going to go with you. So she comes back to Bethlehem with Ruth. You know, Naomi says, when I left full. But when I came back empty. And when people started noticing Naomi, they said, "Is this Naomi?" You know, they looked at her and she said, "Yes, it's me. But don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." You know, things are bitter now. You know, my husband's dead. My children are dead. You know, I'm in poverty. And so she comes back to Bethlehem. And Ruth one day they were so poor. So she decides to go out and to the fields to work and work with the reapers and trying to bring some food home. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight, it says, I shall find grace. And she said, Go. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold who? Boaz. Amen. And behold Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? Amen. Boys always ask questions. Amen. Who's this girl? Where's she come from? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the fields that they do reap, and go thou after them, and have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drank. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? Amen. That's what Ruth said. Why have I found grace in thy sight, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother in law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At meat time come thou hither, and eat the bread, and dip the morsel of the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I am so grateful tonight that, we know a few things about you. And, Lord, I am so grateful that a finite mind can understand a little bit about a great God and a great Savior and an eternal Savior. Thank you, Lord, that in eternity, Lord, while we were from another country, Lord, while we were empty and, Lord, poor, while we didn't have anything to offer, Lord, you set your eyes upon us. And your mighty grace, like Boaz, upon Ruth, Lord, your grace is so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, we ask tonight that you bless us and help us, Lord, to think a little bit about you and Lord, what you're doing in our lives and what you've done. And Lord, as we remember you tonight and the great sacrifice that you did for us, I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll help us to remember some things that might be a blessing to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. As we remember the Lord tonight, we need to remember six things, I think, that we can gain some lessons from the life of Jesus Christ. I know that this year we've been preaching on how unconforming to the image of Christ. And tonight I just want to mention a few things of what the Lord is and why we should remember Him. I think we ought to remember, number one, His miraculous coming. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without thing was that was made was not made without Him. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Amen? Jesus Christ, before He came to Bethlehem, amen, He pre-existed. And thank the Lord that in eternity, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world, amen, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that the reason Jesus Christ came is because of His love, folks, amen. And we need to remember His miraculous coming in eternity. You know, Jesus Christ, did not start there in Bethlehem. The miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ is that he existed before creation. Amen? And the Bible says that Jesus Christ became man. Became man in the womb of Mary, and he was born as one of us. Amen? Thank the Lord that Jesus Christ is our kinsman. Amen? And, you know, he knows man. And he knows you. He knows me. The Bible says that, when Boaz started talking to the reapers there and to the guys that were in charge, you know, he knew everything about Ruth, where she had come from. Amen. And what she had done, how she had left her parents and how she had left everything to come on over, you know, and he knew her condition. And thank God, folks, you know, that Jesus Christ knows everything about us. Amen. And thank the Lord. You know, Ruth went out to the fields and said, "Hey, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to see if I can find grace in this kinsman, you know, of yours, Naomi." And you know, when she was out there gleaning and she was out there trying to do something, he comes over and he looks at her. And I thank the Lord that, you know, the Lord of the Old Testament is the same Lord of the New Testament. Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he had compassion on them. Amen. The Lord from eternity, and the Lord of the Old Testament, same Lord of the New Testament. And the Bible tells us that he knows us, folks, and he has compassion on us. And thank the Lord that as a father has compassion on his child, you know, the Lord has compassion on us. Amen. And, you know, why did he come? The Bible says that he came for us. Amen. Because we had a need. Thank the Lord that he didn't see our sin, but he saw our need, folks, and he came to help us out. Amen. When we were without any righteousness at all, you know, Jesus Christ came to be a blessing to us. The Bible says, according as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the fullness of Godhead is in Jesus Christ bodily. Amen. Jesus Christ is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, and he's all-loving, merciful, and gracious Savior. And I thank God that he is eternal, and so are we. Amen. And, you know, folks, you know, thank the Lord. I mean, we had a beginning. The Lord knew we were coming, but thank God that, you know, we don't have an end. Amen. We have everlasting life, and thank God. You know, as Ruth starts picking up the leftovers of the reapers, you know, old Boaz starts saying to the reapers, "Hey, y'all need to leave a little bit more bunches there. You know, y'all need to leave a little bit more." And then one day, you know, she's about to go back to the house, and, old Boaz says, "Ruth, just hold on a second." And he grabs a big old bag of grain, and he puts it on her, and it was about 25 pounds in those days. You know, there was you could eat with 3 to 4 or 5 pounds of grain a day. You know, but he gave her 25 pounds instead of working for a day. You know, he gave her 25 pounds. And then as he gets to know her a little bit more, and then as she starts getting closer to her, as she starts, you know, trying to get closer to him, you know, one day after that, you know, instead of him giving her 25, he gives her 80 pounds of grain, folks. I mean, when a guy, I tell my boys that if they want to fall in love with a girl, they're going to have to give him, you know, hand over some money. Amen. And folks, you know, God gave his only son for us. Amen. God, you know, God is so good. God's grace is so awesome. And the Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Amen. Why should we, you know, why should a person get saved? Because God is so merciful. God is so gracious. God is so loving. God is so kind. You know, he does so much for us. Amen. And, you know, the reason he came, the reason he left eternity was because of us, folks. You know, we are special to him. And, you know, he's been good to us. And Boaz, you know, started treating Ruth so nice. And he said, he was telling her, "Hey, Ruth, you know, I know You probably didn't bring a lunch to work, but hey, when the girls go to eat lunch, go to eat with them. Whenever they go, you know, to drink some water, go over there and take care of, you know, go feed yourself and go drink over there. And you know, Boaz was being real nice to Ruth. You know, we see that Jesus Christ, his coming, folks, and becoming, you know, God becoming man, you know, to reconcile man to himself. The Bible says that God was in Jesus Christ reconciling man unto himself. Amen. Our loving God, our eternal, loving God, you know, we ought to remember, you know, his miraculous coming, you know, to earth. We ought to remember his miraculous life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life on earth without sin. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Amen? You know, we see that Jesus came because of his compassion, his love, you know, for us. He knows everything about us, folks. You know, and as we work together in church, you know, we ought to care about those people. We ought to love those people that are empty. You know, came back from Moab and don't have anything, and people in sin, you know, they don't have any joy, they don't have any peace, they don't have any love, they don't have anything. And, you know, we've been enriched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to be compassionate with people and love people, and we need to be kind to people and show the compassion of the Lord, you know, to people. But the second thing the Bible says that Jesus Christ, you know, the miracle is that, you know, even though he was in a body like a man, you know, the Bible says that he was without sin. You know, folks, sin is powerful. Amen. And, you know, a lot of times by the time we figure out something, we're messing up over here and we're messing up over here. And, you know, we're always trying to get things together and try to please the Lord. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, you know, he lived a perfect life on earth. Amen. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And the Bible says that he left us an example to follow. Amen. The Bible says, though he were not a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus Christ was obedient completely to his Father. And, you know, as Christians, folks, we just got to learn to be obedient. Amen. As Jesus Christ was completely obedient to his Father, he was always willing to do his Father's will. And you know, Sunday night, I was preaching about David, how David, you know, David learned, you know, to be a son. David learned to be a shepherd. And, you know, he learned to obey his dad. And he learned to submit to his dad in everything that he did. David learned, you know, David learned obedience. Amen. And as we go through life, folks, we've got to learn to obey the Lord and learn from Jesus Christ. Even though he was God in flesh, the Bible says, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Joseph was tempted by sin. But he, before he ascended, but he had to fight sin. He had to run from sin. You know, a lot of times we got to run from sin, folks. Amen. And the stinking old devil, the Bible says that after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, you know, the devil came over and tempted him. And what did Jesus do? You know, every time he told him, hey, make those rocks bread, he said, hey, it is written. You know, throw yourself down from the top of the temple. He said, it is written. And he overcame him by the word. And all of us, if we're going to be obedient to the Lord, we need to know the Bible and we need to obey the Bible. Amen. We need to remember not only that he came because of his compassion, but we need to remember that he was obedient to the Lord on earth. And we need to imitate that. You know, a lot of times people, we want the blessings. You know, children say, well, I want a good wife. I want a good job. I want a good car. I want a good something in the future. Well, if you want something good, then you need to learn to be obedient. You know, because if you're rebellious against your parents, you know, it's not going to go well with you. Amen. The Bible tells us to honor our parents, which is the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you. You can't sneak around your parents and be rebellious and disobedient and expect God to bless you, young people. You know, we can't expect God to bless us, you know, in our marriages if we don't learn to love each other and respect each other, you know, as husband and wife. You know, it's not easy, folks, to love each other. Amen. And to respect each other. But, you know, the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. It's going to take, you know, it's going to cost you something to obey. Amen. It's not easy to obey. You know, it's not easy to go soul winning. It's not easy to reach a Bible. It's not easy to pray. It's not easy to love your enemies, but we can do it. Amen. We need to remember his coming. We need to remember his perfect life and try to imitate. The Bible says that we need to be people with, you know, without blame. We need to be blameless. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, in this wicked, you know, generation. You know, people need to look at us and they need to see, you know, something that is real. Amen. Something that's true. You know, when people, why did people follow Jesus? You know, because Jesus, he not only said things, but he did them. Amen. The Pharisees, you know, Jesus told the disciples, hey, when the Pharisees tell you something, you do it. But don't do as they do, because they say and they don't do. That's one of the secrets of the Christian life, folks, to enjoy the blessings of God, to learn to be blameless in this world and be obedient to the Lord. You know, at church, in our houses, at work, you know, we need to be conscious always of doing right wherever we are, so we can imitate the Lord. I think we need to remember his miraculous ministry. You know, Jesus had a very fruitful ministry. And the reason Jesus had a very fruitful ministry was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, as you look at Christ's life, yes, he came. Yes, he lived a perfect life. But when he started his ministry, the reason he was so powerful, you know, was because when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit of God came upon him. And, you know, then he started, you know, healing people, helping people. And he started his work. You know, and the Bible tells us that we should not be drunk with wine and its excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that the works of the flesh, they manifest themselves. You know, adultery, fornication. The Bible tells us jealousy and wrath and anger and malice and all kinds of things manifest themselves when we're in the flesh. But the Bible tells us that the fruits of the Holy Spirit also manifest themselves. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, peace, joy, temperance. And it goes on and on. And folks, if we're going to be like Jesus, you know, we need to have his compassion. We need to learn to be obedient. We need to learn to be filled with the Spirit. Ricky Gonzalez, who's Ricky Gonzalez? I am nobody. You know, Jesus Christ said, without me, ye can't do anything. You know, folks, you know, we can speak, we can say, we can do all kinds of things. But until you get the power of God on your life, you're not going to really start helping people. You know, before you stand on that Sunday school class, before you get on that bus route, before you go out soul winning, before you go on during the day, you know, how are you going to be able to take care of all the junk that goes around you? You know, in this world, you can't have temperance without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't have love without the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ was called a demon. He was called Beelzebub, and he was called all kinds of things. But how did he keep his cool? How did he keep on loving people? And how did he keep on going and helping people? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was useless without the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was a coward without the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was weak without the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter lied without the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter cussed without the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, don't you get frustrated when you can't live for God? I do. You know, I do. You know, sometimes I find myself, you know, doing some things and I say, man, this is not the Christian life. You know, I need to get God's strength and God's power on my life. And folks, but when Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he preached one sermon. 3,000 people were saved. You know, we're going to be the same way as Peter was without the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to remember the miraculous ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't heal a blind man, didn't heal a leper, didn't heal, you know, a deaf man until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know? And folks, let me tell you something. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to make you do some weird things. You know? Really. The first thing that's going to happen, the devil's going to come after you. He is. After Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, there comes the devil. Amen? And, you know, but the Holy Spirit took Jesus. Where did he take Jesus? He took him out into the wilderness. He took him out into the wilderness. And, you know, you're going to find out, you know, that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a lot of attacks that are going to come upon your life. One lady one time told me, he said, Brother Ricky, why is it that when I decide to go soul winning and start to live right for the Lord, why is it that my marriage is always starts messing up? You know, because the devil is out there trying to destroy us, folks. And, you know, he's trying to stop you. He's trying to hold you back so you won't be effective. Because a preacher, a teacher, you know, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon with the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do great things for God. I love to see people that, you know, have that power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they want to help people. You know, Peter, without the power of the Holy Spirit, he was so selfish to the bone, man. You know, Peter, without the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, hey, man, let's go fishing. Oh, let's go have a good time. Oh, let's go do this. You know, a lot of times without the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, we're going to be so selfish. Thinking about us, my time, my pleasure, my desires, you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to witness today? Who do you want me to help? You want me to go to the hospital? What do you want me to do? How we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help others, folks. You know, as I read about the history of Paul, I got a little book, and of the Apostle Paul and his ministry. And, you know, every time I go to the restroom, I take a book with me. Amen. And if you don't take a book with you, that's a waste of time. But Brother Smith taught us about the second office. Amen. I take a little book, and that little book said how the Apostle Paul, you know, we hear the churches in Asia and Galatia and Philippi and a lot of these churches. But this man was saying that the Apostle Paul started over 80. I don't know if it's over 80 churches over there in Europe, Asia, and all over the Roman Empire, you know, back in those days. You know, how can one man accomplish so much? I tell you how one man can accomplish so much is God. That's right. The Holy Spirit power upon us, folks. You know, if we want to be effective in the Christian service, you know, it's not going to be our looks. It's not going to be our intelligence. You know, there's so many smart people. One time a man came over and told D.L. Moody that he was using bad grammar. Well, he said, well, how many people are you leading to the Lord with good grammar? You know, you can have good grammar, and I like good grammar. I don't like my double negatives, and I don't like, you know, I know a little bit about grammar. But just enough to pass. Amen. I was Anderson for 9 years. Thank God. Finally passed grammar. Amen. But my boys are good at it. But, you know, folks, I want to be used by the Lord. I want God to use my life. I want to be effective in my preaching, in my teaching, in my soul winning, in our ministry. I want God to use my life to touch people and help people. Amen. And we have a lady that just started coming from Bedford. She started coming in the Bedford bus route, and she's a little girl like that. little lady like that. She's got real short hair, and she suffers from epileptic attacks. Last week she was telling me, she said, there's an older man in our Spanish church, and he comes on a bus route from Oak Cliff, I think. He brings a little hat, and she said, Brother Ricky, says, you got to help me. He said, this man is just always asking me out. He wants to date me. You know, she's an older lady. She's about 47, something like that, 45. She's a young lady. Amen. I didn't know you folks got so offended so easy, man. She was asking me to help, you know, get this guy away from her the week before last, and then she comes this week. And she said, Brother Ricky, she said, I don't know what's happening. She said, but I like this church. She said, I just like this church. And she's brought over, this past week, she brought 7 visitors. The week before, she brought 6 visitors. And she wants to win something. I don't know what she's going to win, but she's going to win something. Amen. She said, I like this church. You know, and you know why people like to go to church? Because she gets around people that have a warm heart and a loving heart and a kind heart. You know, I tell our folks a lot of times, hey, go shake these people's hands, man. You don't know what they're going through. Man, they got all kinds of problems. And, you know, a little love will go a long ways, folks. Amen. We don't need to come to church for ourselves. We need to come to church. Hey, find somebody, you know, that's having a tough time and be good to them. Amen. But we need to remember, you know, the reason the ministry of the Lord was so miraculous, it was because of the power of His Holy Spirit. We got to hurry up. Number 4, we got to remember His miraculous sufferings. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21, for even unto hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. The Bible tells us that Jesus suffered joyfully. You know, in Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, there's a phrase there, it says, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. That tells me that Jesus Christ, you know, He suffered joyfully. Amen? As He was rejected and despised, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. You know, I tell our people, you know, if you're looking for pity from people, you know, a lot of times you're going to be disappointed. You know, especially if you're a preacher, and especially if you're a servant in church. Amen. 10 lepers were healed. Only one came back and said, hey, thanks, Jesus. Appreciate it. Amen. Jesus Christ, you know, they didn't esteem, the Bible says they esteemed Him not. We were walking down the Via Dolorosa in Israel here in 2007 when Melissa and I went with a group of people. We were walking through all these little, through the middle of the what do you call these things? They sell a lot of things. Marketplace, yeah. We were walking down the marketplace, and so we kind of started the little downhill, the Via Dolorosa there in Jerusalem. This man ahead of me over there, I don't know if he was a Jew or if he was an Arab or what he was, but, you know, he started saying, Christians, Christians, Christians. You know, he started spitting, you know, because he hated Christians. You know, a lot of times you're going to be hated, despised. The Bible says Jesus was humiliated. The Bible says, and he made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death because He had done no violence. The Bible says He was mocked in Matthew 27:29. The Bible says, and mocked Him and saying, Hail, King of the Jews. You know, He was reviled. In Matthew 27:39, and they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads. That word that reviled means defamed, and spoken impiously about Him. And finally, the Bible says He was crucified. You know, folks, Jesus suffered joyfully. And one of the things that we need to learn, you know, in this life is to learn to suffer. Learn to be patient like Job. Amen? As he goes, you know, as you go through trials in life, we've got to learn to be joyful. The Bible says in James chapter 1, you know, hey, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. You know, there's an English-American people have, it says, when it rains, it pours. Amen? And it says this in chapter 1 of James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, folks, one of the things we need to learn in life is to enjoy, you know, our suffering. You know, as I see people here, you know, there's a blind man that sits back there every Sunday, you know, and as I sit here every Sunday morning and I look at that man, my heart just warms up to him. You know, and I think, man, how is that guy, you know, can enjoy life every time I go by and I just kid with him and try to make him laugh a little bit, you know, because he's going through a tough time. But you know, folks, we've got to learn to suffer joyfully. Amen. The Bible tells us that all things work together for good to those that love God. Amen. So the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, one of the things that we can remember is his miraculous suffering. Jesus was able to take it. And folks, if he took it, you know, we can take it. The Bible says that we can overcome because he overcame. And, you know, because we have him as our advocate and as our helper and as our comforter that goes with us every day. The Bible says that, yes, the Lord lived a perfect life. Yes, he came from eternity. And yes, he suffered joyfully. And yes, he had the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible does say that the Lord did die. You know, folks, as I've been working a little bit here and there with Angel Hills Funeral Home, and you know, as you get close to dead people, you know, there's a weird feeling. Death is horrible. You know, a lot of times I go to these we've loaned our Spanish apartment to a lot of people that have had a lot of loved ones die. And, you know, I see people hurt and I see people go through a lot. But our Lord didn't deserve to die. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. And in order to give life and to help other people, folks, we need to learn to die. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Why? Because this old flesh wants to take over. This deceitful and hateful and wicked, the Bible says, wicked heart. All of us, no matter how many times we shower a day, doesn't matter how much, you know, I got, in my house, I got 19 bottles of perfume. I just had my birthday last week, and, you know, about a month ago, I didn't have a lot, but people, you know, started, you know, if you want some perfume, Brother Smith, come on over, all right? You know, it doesn't matter how much perfume we put on, folks. We still got a wicked heart that wants to take over during the day. And the only reason, the only way we're going to be able, you know, to be a blessing to people is by dying every day to self. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. You know, the story, and I'll be done in a couple minutes, Brother Lassiter. My time's up. In the story of Ruth, we see that Ruth, you know, she starts getting close to Boaz. One night, Naomi tells Ruth, you need to watch out for that guy. You know, if you want to get close to him, you need to watch out. You know, after he eats supper, you need to make sure you find out where he's sleeping. That way you can go over there and get close to him. So there's Ruth, you know, they're eating and supper, and Ruth is looking around, and you know, Boaz, you know, he stretches and he ate supper and he drank and he ate, and then he goes over there by the field and he lays down. And then about midnight, there comes somebody, you know, moving your feet, you know, and she comes over and starts, you know, scooting in. You know, lays down out there by the floor. And old Boaz, you know, the Bible says that he got a little bit scared. You know, how many of y'all get scared when something, you know, is walking on you, you know, when you're asleep? Boy, I got scared to death the other day. My wife took a jump off the bed. You know, she threw the blanket, got up, turned a light on it. There's something there. There's something there. You know? And I said, man, there's nothing there, man. You're just dreaming, woman. Go to bed. But old Ruth started getting close, and old Boaz, hey, who's down there? And Ruth says, it's me, Ruth, your servant. Oh, Ruth. You know, Boaz starts, you know, changing the tone of voice. And he says, Ruth, okay, Ruth, okay. And he said, and then Ruth says, hey, give me a little blanket, man. You know, so old Boaz gives him a little blanket, you know, to sleep over there. And it's in the Greek, folks, in the Hebrew. It's in there. Just go read it tonight. You know, I've read the book of Ruth about 15 times in the last 3 weeks. So I've been preaching on it Sunday morning. So there's extra revelation, you know, to those that read it the most. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man, the Spirit came down. Amen. But, oh, Ruth, you know, Boaz says, okay, you stay there, Ruth. You sleep all you want to stay there. So she stays there till the morning. Boaz gets up real early. That way nobody had noticed that, you know, that somebody had been sleeping there on his feet. So they get up early, and old Boaz, he realizes, you know, that old Ruth wants something with him. You know, he likes him. He wants to get close to him. And old Boaz said, you know what, Ruth, there's a problem. You know, there's another kinsman. Another kinsman that's closer to you than me. And we've got to settle this right. So, the Bible tells us that old Boaz goes to the outside of the city, right there where the entrance of the city, the gates of the city, and he's looking for this guy. You know, the other kinsman, he wants to get closer to Ruth, and he's looking for this guy, and he grabs this guy. He's out there, you know, hey, are you Naomi's kinsman? Hey, I need to talk to you, man. Come on over. He comes over. He says, hey, you know, Elimelech and his boys left some land. He says, so do you want to redeem it? Do you want to buy it? And the guy says, yeah, I'll buy it. He says, but there's a click, man. He says, You gotta take the Moabitish woman with the land too. You know, she was a wife to one of his boys. Ah, said the other man, No. I'm not gonna redeem the land with that woman. I'm not gonna mess up my descendants. And folks, you know, the law is good, but the law can't save us. That other kinsman is the law. You know, it can't get dirty. But thank God, Boaz said, hey, he says, Ruth, he says, if your other kinsman doesn't redeem you, I will redeem you. You know, folks, when we were under condemnation, under the law, you know, when we were condemned to death and when we were rejected by the law and when the law couldn't save us, thank God there was a Redeemer that loved us and came to die for our sin. Amen. The Bible says that He took our sins upon Him. Even though Ruth was a Moabitish woman, you know, she was not from the line of the Jewish people. You know, old Boaz said, hey, I'll take you, baby.
That's the truth. That's a 2012 translation, folks. So things start getting better. The other guy says, no. And then old Boaz says, you know what? Hey, we settled it right. We did it right. You know, old Boaz fulfilled all the law. And thank God that Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law for us. You know, the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us there, chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, for he hath made himself to be sin for us. For us, folks, for us. Amen. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Glory to God, everything that Jesus did, folks, is for us. He came for us. You know, he loved us. We found grace and, you know, in the fields over there when we were poor. He looked upon us and, you know, he sent people to bring us. He sent soul winners, people to love us and care for us. And now we're enjoying so many things of the Holy Spirit, the church, the Bible, you know, and we're rich people, folks. We need to remember, yes, his death, but we need to remember his resurrection. You know, every time I help bury somebody, I always tell people, you know, this is not burial ground, folks. If you know Christ, this is resurrection ground. This is not it, folks. Amen? There's coming a day. Amen? Where there's going to be no more sorrow, no more pain, and we'll be with him forever. Amen? So as we remember today what Jesus Christ did, just remember, you know, he came for you. He lived perfect for you. You know, and, you know, he gave us an example for us. You know, he died for us and then to redeem us. The Bible says that he not only died but rose again, took his precious blood. Even though we were sinners, the Bible says he died for us. Took his blood and bought an eternal redemption to give it to us undeserving sinners. It's because of us. He did it for us. So let's remember him today. Little Lazarus.